This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 349 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Yo, yo, what is up?
Oh, you know, this and that.
Stuff and things.
Yeah.
I did not watch very much this week. I did watch some wrestlings. But
it sounds like we both forgot to watch Quantum Leap. So yeah. I'm double checking right now, but I think there was one. And I remember reading the synopsis and I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch this one. And then I just completely spaced it. And it's bad because again, I was on vacation this week, so I should have had an opportunity, but oh yeah, this one was called Ben Interrupted. 1950s Ben has to team up with. Okay.
Yep. Here we are on Tuesday, March the 28th, recording this episode. I had to work evening shift last night. And then, like, Sunday, the wife and I went to dinner for her birthday. And Saturday night, I went to the wrestlings. And then Friday night, stuff and things. And then, so I didn't really watch a lot. I had work. I had outside activities. We had just different things going on, and
that makes it sound like porn. You're like outside activities,
non sitting at home watching TV activities.
Okay.
Went to bed early one night because I was tired, but I did watch. Kate and I also started a new show, which took up a big chunk of our time because we did watch 8 episodes of this new show.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 7. We watched 7 episodes of this new show. We have 3 left, 8, 9, and 10, of The Night Agent on Netflix.
Okay, that was the one. Remember, before we were recording, I told you that the inspection guy was like, oh, I'm watching this show, and it's really good.
Yeah.
It was The Night Agent.
Yeah. It is excellent.
Excellent. Okay.
Yes. I love
check
it.
Check that out.
You have to watch it.
that sounded like a threat.
It kind of is.
You have to watch it.
Yeah, because I want to talk to you about it, you know?
Okay.
So it's based on a novel by the same name.
Okay.
I'll just read the synopsis they have on here, because FBI agent Peter Sutherland is thrown into a vast conspiracy about a mole on the highest levels of the United States government. To save the nation, Peter plunges into a desperate hunt for a traitor while working with a terrorized ex-CEO, Rose Larkin, and protecting her from the people who murdered her aunt and uncle. Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah,
right.
It's a great movie, a great TV show. It stars Gabriel Basso.
Name doesn't sound familiar.
Well, what you would know him from was Super 8. He was like Martin Reed in that.
Okay.
You know, they made that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So,
I do
but
really
yeah.
With the ball.
Well, I'm just saying, but like that's the one, the Super 8, that flick. You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg flick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, but otherwise, he hasn't really been in a ton. And
what?
My
cat is meowing at me.
Oh, my cat is going crazy next to me as well.
Interesting.
Is yours hungry? Because I think mine wants to be fed.
No, mine just ate dinner.
But your mom's not home. She'll feed you when she gets here. Anyhow, we both really, really like this show a lot. The only name per se in it that you might recognize is Robert Patrick. He plays the deputy director of the FBI.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really good. It involves the FBI, the Secret Service, the presidency. You know, there's a conspiracy. They're kind of being hunted at times. It's really, really good. I'm enjoying it thoroughly, and I can't wait to watch these next three episodes.
Nice.
Yeah, I really can't wait to watch these next three episodes.
Okay, so I got to check that out.
Yes, it's well worth your time.
Are they half hour episodes?
They are good 45 minute episodes.
Ooh, I don't know that I'll be able to catch up that quickly, but.
No, I don't think you'll be able to, because we will absolutely finish it this week with only three episodes to go.
Yeah.
I
just can't believe you guys managed to get through eight episodes at 45 minutes each in that amount of time.
Like, yeah, I know. Well, so we did seven. Seven episodes.
Seven, okay.
So we have three left, 8, 9, and 10. But still, gotcha. We got through seven episodes. It dominated our television viewing.
Hmm.
Of what we plus we also, you know, we watch American Idol, which we just enjoy that show. It's fun, you know, that's a good hour and a half for us. We hate watch Curse of Oak Island.
I love how you guys used to love watch it. You two actually traveled there.
Yeah, we went to Oak Island. We took the tour. We met Rick. We met, not Marty. We met Rick and Gary Drayton there, the metal detectionist. And we met Charles Barkhouse. And we loved it. We had a great time. We had a great trip. It was so cool seeing the island. We're still intrigued. Like, we still like the people.
Mm-hmm.
We're still intrigued by the mystery. It's just, they want the advertising dollars for this show so fucking bad. So they do like 25 episodes in a season when they probably should do 15. Mm-hmm. So they just stretch out and make mountains out of molehills. And it's not them. Like, Rick, like the Laginas and their whole team are working their asses off all summer trying to uncover the mystery and doing what they're doing. Okay. It's not like they're the ones that's filming and editing the episodes together and being like, oh, let's do a dick move here. Oh, let's do a dick move here. Oh, let's do a tease here for 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, they're just living their life doing this show. And at the same time, trying to find this, living their dream of trying to find this treasure. It's the people at History that are fucking with the fans right now this season.
Right.
Yeah. I know so many people that love this show, that have watched it for years, that are struggling this season.
Interesting. I'll have to ask my mom about that, because she has been a diehard fan for a long time.
You know, it's a lot. It's just like, all right, fuck it. Let's just go for it. You know, like, let's get it over with. And I usually go like, I could probably go for a nap. yeah. So it can be a struggle.
Along those lines, we didn't watch any more of season two of Only Murders in the Building yet.
Okay.
We did, however, as I was telling you before we started recording, season four of Love is Blind dropped last night. So we're not hate watching it. We're talking about this. We're trash watching it, because it's trash watching TV. And it's great. Like, this is one of those shows that you go into it knowing what's going to happen. And they, I was telling Julia, they kind of flipped the script this season, because the past two seasons, like, a lot of the way that it plays out is that the women are all genuine and sweet and like really trying to find somebody good. And you get these guys who are complete douchebags. There are some good guys, but for the most part, there's been a number of villains and, you know,
villains.
Yeah,
it's a reality show. It's not scripted. There shouldn't be villains.
Well, these guys are villains. That's the only way that I can really describe it. This season, they've kind of flipped it, and the guys, for the most part, have all been really good, decent people.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of women on there who are really mean, really bullyish, like laughing at each other when they're crying, like, aha, she's crying. Oh, that's great. Like ultimatums and stuff. So it's an interesting power switch.
Nice.
And we also did continue blasting through Doctor Who we're still in Peter Capaldi's final season. So when last we left off, they had done Smile, you know, the episode where the robots have the emojis. They only speak an emoji, and they basically, they didn't know what to do with grief. So when people experienced grief because the first person died, they decided that they were malfunctioning, so they killed them. And then we jumped right into Thin Ice, which is the one where you got the monster that's under the ice in the Thames. And there's a human family that has passed down the secret for generations that the crap that comes out of the monster when he's fed is a super powerful fuel source for the forges. Then we got so I had forgotten about this, but you get a back-to-back basically horror episode. So you had Knock yeah. Knock, which is the one where Bill and her friends all get that big creepy mansion, you know, yep, to be roommates, yep. and they all get kind of sucked into the walls. And, you know, you've got the old guy who's taking care of the place, and he says that he's taking care of his wife, but it turns out that it's his mother, and he's just, you know, he's been aging all along. He feeds people every 20 years to the house. Oh, creepy. It was creepy, and it was fun.
That's awesome. I've seen that one. Jeez.
Yeah. And then we jump to Oxygen, which is the one where, you know, it's a mining rig space station, and the company sells you your oxygen.
Yep.
And they decided that it wasn't profitable enough, so they just sent signals to all of the spacesuits to kill their biological components and sent in a relief crew to, you know, clean up the mess. Another great one. That's the one where the doctor, like Bill's suit malfunctions, and they have to walk on the outside. So he puts his helmet on her and he loses his sight.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. His eyes burn out. So then we did the next episode, which I'd forgotten that they like link up. So the next one is Extremis, which is the one where we finally find out who's in the vault, why Missy is in the vault, and that the, that they're all in a simulation, you know, where basically this text called Veritas, which is the truth, has been translated. And essentially the key part of it is that it says, if you don't believe that you're living in a simulator, then just pick any random number whatsoever, write it down, and then another and another, as many as you want, and then flip the page. And they're the same numbers that you wrote down. Everybody has the exact same random numbers in their head because they're all inside of a simulation. And it turns out that this is a simulation that an alien race has been running over and over again to figure out how best to conquer the Earth. It's just, it was brilliantly done. I really liked it. So yeah, we've only got a few, what, 6 more episodes before the end of this one, before the end of, well, 7 if you count the one holiday episode after that. I think it's like Twice Upon a Time.
Yeah, and then you're all done in the Capaldi years.
Yep.
Damn, that went fast.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's Whitaker, which is a short one as well. I mean, what, the last season is like 6? It's like yeah. 6 episodes because they were all specials.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And then we're caught up. But yeah, otherwise, I only have like a couple of shows that I watch this week.
Well,
have you signed back up for Apple yet?
I have not.
Okay. Episode 2 of Ted Lasso. I'm not going to say anything because you are going to get it. You are going to watch it. Yeah. So episode 2... I'm worried about what they're doing. They've introduced a plot line that I'm a little concerned about. I'm a little bit like, oh, I don't like where this is going. I'm going to see how it plays out. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about it.
What has you concerned?
Well, I'm not going to tell you because you're going to be watching it. Plus, it's you know, brand new right now. So I don't really want to go into too heavy of a spoiler. If we were talking like season 3 and you had never watched the show, then I could probably say it and I wouldn't worry about it because you would forget it by the time you catch up. But in this case, where it's 2 episodes into the 3rd season, and as soon as you turn on Apple, you're going to be able to binge them. I'm not going to ruin that, but once you've caught up to those
that.
Two, yeah, once you've caught up to those two, I'll be interested to talk about my concerns. I will say this too. There's two other shows on Apple right now that I've been meaning to check out, which is Shrinking, that one with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford.
Yep.
I got to check that out. That's a Bill Lawrence show. It's Jason Segel. It's Harrison Ford. Come on. I'm sure it's amazing. It's got Krista Miller in it.
Yep.
Because it's a Bill Lawrence show and that's his wife. I think ex-wife now. But there's another show that just started this week and it's, what's it called? It's something like the Big Prize.
There's a wrestling reality type show on there from the Monster Factory.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I want to check that out as well.
This one,
I didn't know if that's what you were talking about. Cause I can't think of the name of it. Oh, okay.
No, this one, apparently it's this mysterious machine. It's like a fortune telling machine appears in a grocery store in a small town and everybody who uses it gets a fortune that tells them what their destiny is supposed to be. And so they all like start changing their lives and picking up new habits and trying out new things because, you know, this machine says, oh, you're supposed to be a pianist or you're supposed to be a delivery driver or something like that. It looks very interesting. I might have sent the trailer for it at some point.
I can't think of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's going to be something that I will check out because I believe it just started, this week. Like the first episode just dropped on Apple TV this week.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So once you get hooked back up to Apple.
Mm-hmm. I'll check it out. Put it on the list. Get back going to it.
Cool. What else have you got?
Still watching The Conners. I still enjoy it. I know a lot of people don't. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. I don't know. It's funny because today at work, I put the TV on Roseanne, even though it's on mute. It's just so I look up every once in a while and see what's on the TV because there's not a whole lot on during the day. And I don't want to have constant news on. And I was looking at an episode and I went to Wikipedia real quick so I could look at it. And I was looking at the first season of the show. And I guess I didn't realize that the first season was what the first season was, as far as like I'm reading these plots and it's just like, oh, I didn't realize that this was the first season of the show. Like George Clooney was on the first season only. And he only worked at the factory for that first season. I thought she worked at the factory for multiple seasons. And it's just kind of weird how your memory gets about things like the background things, you know?
Yep. Absolutely.
But yeah, I still enjoy it. I'm really digging Alaska Daily.
Yeah.
Frankly, they're doing a really good job of that show. I really like it a lot. It's that Hillary Swank in Alaska mm-hmm. Daily, working on a newspaper. They're really looking at, and I don't know, like the show, the plot is based on all the missing Alaska Native women that have gone missing over the years. And no one seems to care about trying to find them, mm-hmm. like the government officials or whatever. So they're basing it on a lot of like facts or rip from the headlines type things, or, you know, the same like a Law and Order type thing, except it's the newspaper side of things. So I don't know. It's good. It's not just a background show for me. I do pay attention to it.
Yeah.
The only other thing I watched this week, besides our regular shows that we watch, was How I Met Your Father.
Is that still good?
Yeah, it's fine. It's 20 minutes, you know, so it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, I it's not like I'm going to go back and rewatch it. At least I wouldn't intend to.
Okay.
But yeah. My buddy Brandon recommended I check out a show on HBO Max called Banshee.
Is that a movie or a show?
It's a movie. I mean, sorry, it's a TV show. It stars Anthony Starr, Homelander. Starr's Homelander from The
Boys. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Okay. And he's a guy that, like, gets out of prison and, well, hold on. Let me see if I can go back and send him exactly what I sent him when I watched it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. He goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Really? But how did he take that out?
We're talking about Evil Dead. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Because Sam Raimi's going to be at Boston Fan Expo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh, okay. Did you ever watch Banshee? I started watching a while back. It was created by Alan Ball, who did 6 Feet Under and True Blood. It stars Homelander and is a very gritty action flick. It was on Cinemax, so it's got lots of nudity, but it's really, really good. Whenever you're in the mood for an old school trashy action show, it's worth your while. And he's watched the first two seasons. It came out in 2014 or 15, something like that.
Okay.
So then I watched it. So in the first 6 minutes, the guy gets out of prison, has sex with a girl in the back room of a diner, trashes a drag queen salon, gets into a car chase, innocent civilians die all around him from a shootout, and a bus crashes and almost wipes him out, and then we get the opening credits. Like, it was just like over-the-top 80s action absurdity with very little dialogue, and it was like the first 6.5 minutes. And I was like, this show is wild. And then... A while later, he's like, so in a couple of days, he's like, so what do you think? Because I've watched, I think, 4 episodes now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I go, so I'm watching episode 3, and I'm pretty sure as a sheriff, you just can't break a man's arms and fingers and whatnot. You just take him into custody, especially in front of a crowd of people. Let's not even give him the fact that he's on tribal land and he has no choice, just take anyone into custody. He's like, yep, it's pulpy and definitely have to let some of that stuff slide. And he definitely breaks the law. He does get called out for it later on, though. I'm like, all right. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. I'll just spoil it real quick for you. I won't tell you how it happens, but he gets out of jail. He's an ex-con. He went to prison for a long time for a reason. He's in this town called Banshee, Pennsylvania, because that's where his ex-wife / ex-girlfriend is hiding out.
Okay.
And he ends up becoming the sheriff of the town because the guy that shows up to be sheriff isn't able to fulfill his duties and no one knows who he is. So he just becomes sheriff. So of course he doesn't know how to be a police officer or do paperwork or dress like an officer. And he's got lots of pent up rage and frustration from his 15 years in prison. So, he takes it out on people. And, so it's very much like you got to let your factuality of how, you know, like law enforcement works go and just kind of run with it. But it is definitely trashy with gratuitous sex and violence and cursing. And but there is a good story overall.
Okay.
Yeah, it is supplied by a good story, or there's a good story fulfilling it or whatever, so.
Okay.
And that's about it for me, other than Mandalorian and Picard. I don't think I watched anything else, TV show-wise, that we talk about in general. Or
yeah, I was looking at it, and I'm pretty sure that my only things are Mandalorian and Picard beyond.
Yeah. Yep. So which one do you want to talk about first, Picard or Mando?
Let's go Picard.
All right. So we got some more Next Generation stars back in this. We got ourselves some Geordi LaForge.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
With I was going to say, this is a very – both of these shows that we're talking about are very nostalgia heavy. We start with Geordi LaForge, and don't know if you knew this or not, but the daughter, because he has two daughters in this movie,
yes,
or this show, the yep, one that shows up on the ship with him this week, the new daughter, as it were.
Yes.
That's LeVar Burton's real life daughter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So not the one who we've been seeing, who's been piloting
right.
the Titan.
Right.
But this one. Yeah. So that's his real life daughter. So, yeah, we basically they are hiding out. They keep trying to evade Federation ships, and they hide out at this museum, floating museum.
It's the Starfleet Museum.
Yep.
And that's where so Worf and Raffi and Riker go to Daystrom Station.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beamed down there to try to find out what was stolen. Right?
Yes.
And Titan has to take off because Starfleet shows up. And that's when they head to the Starfleet Museum, where Geordi is the Commodore, you know?
Yes.
So which storyline do you want to chat about?
Why don't you talk about Worf and Raffi?
Okay. So Worf, Raffi, and Riker are on Daystrom. Mm-hmm. And we get to see some cool flashbacks from footage from the Next Generation of a very young Riker. because they run into a hologram of Professor Moriarty,
mm-hmm.
who is kind of challenging them and speaking in riddles. And he's shooting real bullets at them somehow.
Yep.
And their phasers do nothing. And they only have so much time to get what they're getting in there, because Daystrom Station is a manned station.
Mm-hmm.
And now they also know, because the Starfleet showed up and scared off and chased away the Titan, that there's people on there. So they have limited time. And they end up battling this Moriarty fella, and then Riker has this flashback to a younger version of himself. I mean, holy cow, younger looking.
I know. It was funny as shit, honestly.
Yeah. And he's having a memory of Data whistling, was it Pop Goes the Weasel?
Yep.
I believe it was.
Yep.
And Data liked Sherlock Holmes and akin himself to being and Moriarty's and Sherlock Holmes' arch nemesis. That kind of explains that. So all Riker did was sing Pop Goes the Weasel and Moriarty went away?
No, he whistled it. He whistled the last part because he said that.
Yes, he couldn't remember the last part. Yeah.
Data was unable to whistle. And
yes.
So he knew that that's kind of what was going on.
So they go into where, like, the archive, the mainframe is. And mm-hmm. the mainframe isn't a computer. It's Data. Or a version of Data.
Yes.
It's all these different versions of Data that are in this one mind. And it's almost like he's got split personalities,
mm-hmm.
if you will. But also, they know that he's the one that had... They can tell them what the changeling stole.
Yes.
So that's a large chunk of the episode for their story, is battling Moriarty and figuring that out, and then hashing over how they're going to get Data out of there and this and that and everything. And ultimately, Titan does get back to them, and we'll get into that. And they decide they're going to beam Data aboard Titan. So they beam them all up, but they can't lock onto Riker. They're locking onto three people. They beam them up. Riker gets shot and he gets held. Now here's the thing. Yeah, he gets captured by Starfleet, but it's actually there's a changeling in there that kills the Starfleet members, and the changelings have Riker now.
Yes. The captain of the Shrike is holding him,
and they have his wife.
Allegedly. But changelings can change their face to anything.
I didn't even think of that. I just assumed it was her.
Yep. Yep. That was my first thought was, they're going to make her. They're going to make it look like her.
It actually seems more realistic that it's not the real her, and that it's a changeling pretending to be her, than having it actually be the real one.
My guess is that Riker is going to figure it out. Because Deanna is an empath, so he's going to do some kind of a test to see if she can pick up on his emotion. And, you know, if it's a changeling, it'll fail. If she does, then it's really her.
All right, there you go. I didn't even consider that it could be a changeling. I just went with, oh, crap, they got her. But it makes more sense it's a changeling than that they had time to go back, grab her, and then head over there.
Right. Yeah.
So they essentially find out that the other item that the changelings took, or, well, you know, whatever the people took that broke into Starfleet, besides the or Daystrom, besides the
portal gun.
Portal gun, was the actual corpse of Jean-Luc Picard. Because I actually forgot that this Jean-Luc we're dealing with is not the real Jean-Luc Picard.
They've mentioned it a few times. Like mostly in passing, but they'll say, like, you know, something about, oh, the positronic mesh, or, you know, this positronic version of you standing in front of me, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I thought, like, that was outlawed.
What was outlawed? Because they've gone into that. No, I was thinking of Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's why Data is.
No, because that's what they said, was that synthetics were shut down. But then they came back. They said that this episode. They said, you know, originally all artificial intelligence synthetics were shut down. They stopped the research, but then after the most recent conflict, they were allowed to reactivate them. And that's why this version of Data, because everyone keeps saying, they're like, you know, I've seen Data die twice. I watched him die twice.
Yeah.
And so this is more of it's just like Picard. It's an almost human body with Data's consciousness, but it also seems to have Lore's consciousness and B4's consciousness.
Yes.
Which, that's dangerous. I gotta be honest. Like, I went woo when he came out as Lore. You know, he's like, I'm Lore, and I'm like, yeah. And then it was like, I'm B4. I'm like, damn it, no. Just give me Data and Lore doing a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that would be sufficient. But at the Starfleet Museum, that was
cool. Yeah. So basically, they're like, Geordi, you gotta help us. We're your friends, and he's like, go fuck yourselves. He's like, my family is more important. At the very best, if I helped you, I would be court-martialed and stripped of everything. And at the worst, you know, killed, my family killed. Like, no, I'm not going to turn on Starfleet to help you guys. It's great seeing you, but no, I'm not going to do this. Can't, won't, period. Meanwhile, by the way, I wanted to point this out too. Like, when Worf and Raffi and Riker were all on Daystrom, there was one point where they got Worf was looking. I think it was Worf was looking in a container, and it was a modified Tribble. So it looked like a Tribble on the screen, but then it was like it was more like a Metroid or a facehugger.
Yeah.
I did like the interactions where Riker was talking to Worf, and Worf's like, no, I like to be a pacifist now. And Riker's like, we're all going to die. It was great. But yeah, so basically,
We've seen Worf do some killing.
Yes, we have.
We've seen him do plenty of killing.
So most of the Titan thing was a mix of Geordi saying no, his daughter's talking and being like, we got to get dad to say yes. And then more nostalgia. You know, we're looking at all of these old decommissioned ships that are here, and they're like, look, that's Kirk's Enterprise. I love the sleek lines. Oh, what's that ship? And Seven's like, that's Voyager. She explored out farther than any other ship that's ever gone out there. That was my home. Yep. That's where I was reborn. We saw the Klingon bird of prey from Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. They were like, oh, yeah, something about whales. Yeah, it was lost at the bottom of the ocean because the cloaking device was still on. They couldn't find it for forever, and they finally found it, put it up here. Well, wait a minute. Let's put the cloaking device in here. And that's how they determine, because basically they're talking about, like, let's keep dropping transponder beacons with our signal on them. And Geordi basically says, or his daughter, she's like, yeah, against my father's wishes, the entirety of Starfleet has been retrofitted so that they all share basically a pinging service.
The ships talk to each other.
Yes.
And they know each other is. So you just can't drop a transponder beacon anymore and try and say, oh, we're actually over there. It doesn't work that way anymore.
And, you know, it's funny that stuff like that. So I feel like with stuff like this coming up, it's modern TV catching up with modern technology to write for the future. So back in the 60s, when they were writing Star Trek, they were doing their best with like transporters and, you know, automatic doors and stuff.
Yep.
And then when we got to like the Next Generation, we're sitting there going, yeah, everybody has automatic doors. Everybody has elevators. Like, what are you going to do? So they're like, now they've got replicators and they've got all this stuff. But nobody ever thought that, you know, all of Starfleet would have its ships. You know, there's always like, oh, it's a distress signal. Now, modern technology for you and I, Mike, has find my phone.
Oh, or, yeah.
You know, find my friend's phone, find my friends.
Life 360.
Exactly. I use Life 360 all the time. I love it. And AirTags, you know, you drop an AirTag somewhere and you could track it anywhere. So now the writers of these shows are like, well, shit, if the 20th century has this kind of tech, like, it would make sense that Starfleet would hook up all of their ships with that, because then you would always know where all of them are, you know, instead of this, oh, the last signal that they sent or the last time they contacted us, they were heading into this zone. We haven't heard from them since then. Well, fucking grab Life 360 and see where the Enterprise is. So I thought that it was funny to me that they're like, oh, yeah, they retrofitted all the ships. No, that should have been done day one. Like, that should have been the thing. It would have saved so many episodes of like, what ship has been out here? Hold on.
It's like when in Star Trek, the new Star Trek series, it was Enterprise. No, that was different. The new one.
Discovery.
Discovery. The jump drive.
Yes. You
know, everyone's like, what the hell? How does this even exist? You know?
Yep.
Based on the timeline when it takes place, why have we never seen this in any form of Star Trek before?
Yep. And then they explained it.
Yep.
So, I thought that was particularly funny. But basically, yeah, they're like, you will never escape, because once they lock on, they'll be able to find you forever. You know, you're basically – oh, that's what they said. They were like, you're basically floating around emitting a signal, and as soon as you get close enough to somebody, they've locked on, you're stuck with it. So Jack and Geordi's rebel daughter are like, let's go steal the cloaking device from that Klingon bird of prey, and let's just jam it into the Titan. I mean, it's a brilliant plan. They're on the run from Starfleet, and, you know, Geordi's like, oh, this is against Starfleet regulation. You're on the run from Starfleet. That was another cool moment. I liked seeing the captain just fucking lose his shit and geek out over the fact that Geordi LaForge was on his ship.
Yes. I thought that was really good. Shaw's had some great lines in these episodes. He's had some really good lines. Yeah.
And that actor always delivers them so well. I always love him, even though he always plays a dick. Like, I remember him in Heroes, like, as the multiple man. He always plays a dick, but he's always so fucking good at it.
Yeah, he's definitely very good at being a dick.
And I love how Geordi kind of ran him into the ground, and he's basically like, this ship is on its last leg, it's leaking fluids, it's doing this, it's doing this. And if it weren't for the fact that my daughters were here and we were under such an emergency situation, I would gladly geek out with you over how cool and well put together this ship is. And he's just like, thanks.
Yeah, it's all good. All good stuff.
Yep. So, yeah, basically, oh, and what did they find out? They found out that the reason that Jack's having these hallucinations, this was an interesting thing, too. He has a genetic defect in his brain that he got from Picard.
Yep.
And the way that they described it, it sounded like modern ADHD. Yep. Like, his brain moves too fast. He's constantly taking in stuff, and his brain is moving faster than he can keep up with. That's why he aced all this stuff. That's why he's always bored. That's why he's always like two steps ahead of people. And I'm like, so he has ADHD. Like, That's basically what it boils down to. So now they've got to deal with that, but they're still not sure why the changelings are seeking him out. However, when we find out that the changelings grabbed Picard's remains and now they're looking for his son, there's something in there. There's something that ties those two together. And I know that they'll reveal it. I know that if you and I sat down, we could probably figure it out. We could probably like brainstorm it. I'm along for the ride at this point. I don't need to figure it out right now.
We also saw at the beginning of this episode, Crusher doing tests on Jack. Led to this, you know what I mean? To reveal what you just said. So that was actually the, kind of the first things that we saw in this. So I did appreciate that. Like,
yes.
I thought they were going to hide it. I thought they were going to cover things up. But no, we did get that. So.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Did you watch any movies this week?
I was looking. I don't believe that I did.
So I'm going to tell you about the one movie I watched this week so we can break up the Picard and Mandalorian back to back.
Okay.
I actually watch Mandalorian on Thursdays. That's what I've been doing lately because Wednesdays I get home, I'm real busy. Then I watch AEW wrestling and then I'm going to bed. So I've been watching it on Thursdays and I've been really digging watching Mandalorian and Picard back to back because it's like two awesome sci-fi future past space shows that
I could see that
are completely different. And it's just fun. Because it's like, you know, I get done watching Mando, I want more. I'll watch Picard. Or I get done watching Picard, I want more. I'll watch Mando now. But yeah, anyhow, so I watched on Sunday night with my oldest. We watched Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Amazing movie. One of the last really good Kevin Smith ones.
Until he did Clerks 3, it was the last really good one.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so Seth Rogen, Elizabeth Banks, they play best friends since high school, and they're very platonic friends their whole lives, and they live together, and they're poor as hell, and it's their 10th anniversary of their class reunion, and all their shit's getting shut off on them, and they're broke, and so they decide the best thing to do is, hey, let's make a porno, and we can sell it. And people will like, because of course people will buy it, because like, you know, there's 800 people in our graduating class and they'd all want to see someone in their graduating class being a porno, because why wouldn't they? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. There's tons of cursing. Obviously, there's some nudity and sex in it because it's about making pornos. But it's so hilarious. So hilarious. And I think who steals the movie for me is Justin Long as Brandon St. Randy.
Brandon St. Randy.
With his voice like this, you know.
The bloopers or outtakes later on at the end where riffs.
In the credits, they do it's Zach and Mary Make Your Porno, and it's when people can go and they can make a porno together, and it's professionally shot and helps rekindle the relationships and everything. And Brandon St. Randy's there with Brandon Routh, who's his husband or boyfriend or whatever, civil union, and he just goes on and on and on and on and on. And the shit he says, it's just so hilarious. And then we watched – the movie is like an hour and 40 minutes. And then there's an hour and 34 minutes of deleted and extended scenes. And some of them, it's like, why didn't they leave that in? But there's so much more of Brandon St. Randy in those deleted extended scenes. He does steal the show for me. It's hilarious. Absolutely. You know, it's just like, is there anything Seth Rogen's just so in. He's like, is there anything I've seen you in? He's like, probably not. I don't think you're in our demographic. He's like, what's your demographic? Do you love pussy? Yes, you're not in our demographic. You know, like.
And then he's like, Oh, yeah, exactly. Right on, man. Right on.
Who's the black comedian that's in it?
He was Daryl in The Office. Think of his name. Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson. All right. So they're working at the coffee shop because he's waiting for a settlement. Oh, and the guy walks in. He goes, are you guys done talking now? Can I get a coffee, please? Black. And he responds like, "We're busy, white." the humor is awesome.
Yep.
I laughed a lot. We had to pause it a couple times because we were having such a good laugh. Because, you know, he was like, "Oh, let's watch something funny." And I'm like, "Well, have you seen this?" Because at first I said, "Have you watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High?" And he's like, "Yes." I'm like, "Okay. Have you seen this?" "No." Actually, the first thing I said was Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And he's like, "No, I haven't." And I was like, "Oh, wait, hold on. Have you seen this?" And he's like, "I have not." I'm like, "Well, let's watch this instead." And you're right. It's the last good Kevin Smith movie did that I feel that was good until he did Clerks 3.
Yep.
Because he did Clerks 2 before this.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So we watched that. It was just as hilarious. It was funnier than I remember.
I remember, this is dating us, but I remember driving to Portland and buying a physical copy of Zach and Miri Make a Porno day of release.
Yeah.
Unseen. Like, yes. Never saw it in the theater, yes, or anything, because I was like, it's Kevin Smith and it's going to be good, and bringing it back to the house and sitting down and watching it together and laughing our asses off.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I still have that DVD because I only have it in DVD.
It's amazing. Still, one of the scenes that will always forever be etched in my head was Randall shooting the movie.
Oh, my God.
I just got frosted like a cake. Can you believe this shit? Can you believe this shit?
I was telling Kaylin, we're watching. I'm like, it made me think I need to watch Green Hornet with Seth Rogen. I haven't watched that since we saw that in theaters, and I remember laughing pretty hysterically then.
Yep.
For that movie then. So I gotta put that on the list.
Yep. Yep, that was a good one.
Yep. So that was the only movie I watched. It was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way to go watch it. I found out today my mom listens to the show.
Oh yeah?
I don't know if she listens to all of it, but she definitely listens to a good chunk of it. And she asked me if I'd ever seen this movie today. She described it as, you know who Melissa McCarthy is? I'm like, yep. She's like, yeah. So like, she takes her daughter to college. And then when she gets home, her husband wants a divorce.
Yep.
I haven't seen that. It's called Life of the Party.
Yep. I have not watched it.
She watched it today. She loved it.
Nice.
Yeah. I probably won't watch it.
Yep, Melissa McCarthy is great.
But it does have Jillian Jacobs and Maya Rudolph in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 38% on the Rotten Tomatoes here.
One of my favorite one of my favorite Melissa McCarthy movies that I've seen her in a while was honestly Spy. Jason Statham as but like in the best way possible, you know, put me in the face off machine. They're like, excuse me. And he's like, put me in the face off machine. Take my face off. Put somebody else's face on. They're like, we don't have a face off machine. Where would you get an idea like that? Oh, you guys are fucking assholes.
I hear that they're making like a new version of that movie, or a remake. Yeah. Maybe it's a sequel. I don't remember, but I heard they're doing with it again.
Okay. I enjoyed the hell out of it. So
that's another one I have not seen in a very long time that I need to watch again.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm like, oh, look, that's Randall. He's like, Randall, like, oh, you know, the video store clerk from Clerks. Oh, I didn't recognize him. And then like, we're watching it. I go, that's Jay. Jay who? Jay, as in Jay and Silent Bob, the drug dealer. What? No, it's not. Cause he's got that real short haircut. And he's not talking Stucci Boochies, and you know, yeah.
And his teeth are all jacked up from the meth, and
I don't think it is yet. Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe they are. But anyhow, that was the only movie I watched. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So Mando.
Mando. The Foundling.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I thought, just like with Picard, there was a lot of nostalgia in here. Mm-hmm. It was a great episode in general. I balked because once again, they did that thing that I wasn't a big fan of where they intercut two different stories, but it was better because it was more of a flashback than anything. But essentially, like, some of this, I have feelings. So on the one hand, you've got all of these Mandalorians, all of them. I mean, there are dozens of these Mandalorians out here sparring on a beach, shooting at the water for some reason, just fucking taking shots at the water to test out that they can hit water, I guess. But, you know, hand-to-hand combat, fighting with each other. Din makes Grogu go against one of the other little foundlings and basically says, you know, I know what you can do, kid, do it. And it was a cute scene. You know, I liked having Bo-Katan be like, you know, your dad believes in you. You can do this.
Yeah.
It was very cute, and very sweet. But then you have the big bird thing that Raptor. Swoops down. Yep. Swoops down, snatches one of them.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, fuck. Well, don't shoot him because you'll hit the kid. Well, good thing you weren't aiming at all that water, you know. And so they launch up into the sky with their jetpacks. They're short-range jetpacks. And one by one, you know, their fuel runs out. They kind of land hard. They don't crash, but they're like, ugh. And then they say, you know, oh, he's done this before. Like, he always gets away. We can never catch him. And fucking Bo-Katan screams by in an actual starship because she's the only smart one who's like, then if it's long range, then I'm not going to go with a So the thing is, it's done this before, and they know that it's done this before, so they thought, maybe this time we'll catch him. It was like Wile E. Coyote chasing the Roadrunner, you know? Well, maybe this time we'll get him. We're not going to shoot at him, but we're going to try to outfly. Oh, we crashed again. So, once again, Bo-Katan, the only smart one among them, apparently, is like, I'm just going to fly my ship over there, finds out where the thing is, and then comes back and reports. Again, smart. Instead of just like, I'm going to gun him down in his nest. She's like, okay, this is where he is. Let's mount a rescue party.
Yep.
So, that's what they do. Meanwhile, Grogu stays behind with the armorer, and this is where we get the flashback. You know, he hears her like banging on the metal and the forge is like pounding and it triggers memories.
She's making him some really odd sized chest plate.
I really thought it was going to be a helmet because the whole thing is,
me
you know,
too.
Their helmet is the first thing that they wear.
Yeah.
All the young foundlings out there have a helmet and then like regular clothes, street clothes.
Yeah.
So I really thought she was making him a helmet. And she's like, no, put this on over the other chest thing that we already made for you.
Yeah, over your chainmail here. This will protect you more. But it's just awkward looking.
She's like, you'll grow into this.
But yes, Grogu has his flashback. And I almost think this is the most important part of the episode, to be honest. Because the rest of the episode is Bo-Katan leading the other Mandalorians to where the Raptor is, saying we have to climb up there, people griping how hard it is. She's like, no, it's not, we can do this. She leads them up. We get the she asks, you know, Jin, like, so how do we eat? How do you take your helmet off to eat? Oh, well, we all find us someplace to eat out, you know, we get our food at the fire, but we all leave and go find someplace. Which
is a great, again, nod because everyone's like, how do they eat?
Yeah. And then the one guy who's it's his son that was taken.
Yeah.
He goes, no, you're the leader of the party. You have the honor of eating by the fire.
Yep.
So they leave her behind. And then it's them going to fight the Raptors and the dad being overzealous because for some reason she hasn't killed the kid yet. And it's been a day.
Yeah, that seems odd, right? Like, what is she doing? Softening him up?
Well, no, but she like regurgitates him into the nest with the others.
Yeah.
With her babies, like it didn't make sense to me. Like, no, why is this kid still alive? The kid would not still be alive.
Not at all.
It's been literally, it's been a solid day.
Uh huh.
You know, we have the big fight. Everyone gets rescued. Yada yada yada. Bo-Katan saves the day with Mando.
And they bring the babies back.
They to train to serve them.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
So are they going to be riders? You know, are they going to ride these things? Or
why not?
Going to be interesting.
So, So here's my thing. Do you think Bo-Katan is going to take over as their new de facto leader and yes. lead them and challenge Mando for the Black Saber?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, it would make her a villain if it did. And all the other Mando's villains if they did that.
Yep.
And I just don't see them doing that. I could see Jim being like, yeah, I don't want to lead here. Just take the damn thing. I don't want to lead. Like,
but he already tried that once and she said you can't do it. It either has to be passed through combat, you know, combat to the death, I believe she said, or.
Well, but also. She wasn't all about wearing a helmet because it was foolish and backwards and old, da 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 da. And yet this time she seems to be cool with it.
So the way I look at it is this. Before, she was part, you know, she was the leader of a group of mercenaries that were all wearing the Mandalorian armor. But they said, you know, you guys are fanatics and you're stupid and, you know, you're just fossils clinging to an old belief for a world that is gone. You know, yeah. Mandalore was dead. It was glassed, bombarded till it was destroyed, toxic, etc. So now she has seen the Mythosaur. She's seen that Mandalore still lives. She's seen the Darksaber is back in this area. And she was accepted in by all these other Mandalorians when her crew scattered to the winds. They were like, fuck you. We're going to go do our own thing and be bounty hunters. She's like, bah. So she was left sitting on a throne by herself. Now all these guys are like, we'll welcome you in with open arms. Now they're like, we're going to honor you because you did this. You know, you're the one that rescued this kid. You're the one that mounted this rescue operation. So she's, I feel like she's feeling A, more at home, and B, like, okay, maybe these guys aren't fanatical because this can come back. You know, she kind of asked the armorer is like, you know, do you want me to put the Night Owl on your new signet? She's like, could I do the Mythosaur? And she's like, dude, the Mythosaur belongs to all of us. You can have it. She's like, what if I told you I saw a Mythosaur? She's like, cool. No, like I really saw one under the water. And she's like, things happen. You know, she got a piece of her armor
damaged in the battle with the Raptor. And so, you're right. The armor made her that new one with the Mythosaur insignia on it.
I feel like she feels like she belongs now, you know, whereas before it was more like her and a bunch of ragtag people were like, it's Han Solo saying, you know, hokey religion, you know, doesn't do a thing when you got a blaster by your side. And it was the same kind of mentality.
That being said, I could see Mando giving her the dark saber and her just accepting it this time around.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, because she's changed so much. I could see her accepting like, okay, like he doesn't want to rule. I want to rule. They want to follow me. Here, take the dark saber. He still struggles to wield it anyways.
Exactly. And yes, that's what I was more inclined towards.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to come up with something where they talk to the armorer and they're basically like, look, he has it. He doesn't want it. I want it. What can we do? Is there a loophole? Is there something in the creed that would allow this to pass back to me without me having to kill him? You know, and maybe she'll say, you know, well, there's a cleansing ritual, kind of like what he had to do where he dipped into the water. You know, there could be something that they perform a ritual where it is passed off. So back to what you were saying is the most important part of the episode.
Grogu's story.
Grogu's story was a flashback to Order 66. And basically we got to see how he was, you know, in his little pod. He was a youngling on Coruscant and, he was supposed to be executed. Like the clone troops came in and they took out the Jedi that were guarding him. One Jedi came and saved him, you know, took out the clone troops that were attacking him, threw him on a speeder, took him away, daring rescue, basically some, I guess you'd say rebel troops at the time. They weren't rebels, but they were just fighting back against clones, held off the clone troopers that honestly had him dead to rights. Like they showed up with that dropship on that platform. They could have just mowed down the two cannons on the front of that dropship. Could have just mowed down him, Grogu, everybody else that was on the ground and the ship. And they wouldn't have even blinked. But instead they like, oh, let's offload all of our troopers and get into a, you know, infantry battle. And it was a very beautiful action filled scene. Of course, made even more beautiful by the fact that who played the Jedi? Ahmed Best. Yep. And that was such a redeeming thing for him. For those who don't know, Ahmed Best was originally most famous or infamous for voicing Jar Jar Binks in the prequels. He was the voice of Jar Jar Binks, and this was a guy who at the time was thrilled that he was going to be in a Star Wars movie. He was a young actor. He was like, yes, I'm going to be in a Star Wars movie. And Jar Jar Binks was so reviled, so hated. Like, that was bad enough, but then, as trolls tend to do, people were sending him death threats, telling him to go kill himself, calling him a piece of shit. Like, they were taking out their hatred of Jar Jar Binks on the guy who did the voice. Like, he did not write this character. George Lucas wrote this character. He did not create the character. He did not have anything to do with him other than doing the voice.
Yep.
But they spewed so much toxic shit on him that he almost killed himself. And
when I heard about that, I thought that was so terrible. But imagine how bad it would be today with social media the way we have it today.
Yeah.
Unlike then, where we had the internet, we had chat rooms and this and that, but we did not have the social media that we have today and the click button activists that we have today.
Right. Yeah, it would be very bad. I saw an Instagram post that he did where he was basically standing with his son pointing out over, I believe it's a bridge, but he basically wrote the caption and said that years back, that is the spot where he almost killed himself. He almost took his own life because he was so filled with darkness and all the shit that people have been throwing at him. And he decided to hold on. And now, you know, his son is his reward, is as he put it, which is beautiful. And the fact that they gave him this noble of a character to come back and be the one who saved Grogu from Order 66. I think that that's one of the nicest things that Jon Favreau could have done.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It was a beautiful scene, and it was made even more beautiful knowing the history behind the actor. So I loved it. But yeah, it traumatized Grogu. He was old. I know he's 50 years old. And we're like 50 years old, but Yoda was 900 when he died. So it's a drop in the bucket. He's still a baby, but he was aware enough to be traumatized by that. So the noise really like freaked him out. He had this flashback and remembered where he came from. And it was tragic for him. But it also explained what everybody was asking. How did he survive Order 66? Carefully.
Now we do, yeah. No, carefully is the right answer. Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to get more of his backstory, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to more of how he got to where he is and what he's going to do now.
Yep.
I saw somebody mocked up an image of wearing Mandalorian armor. They're like, when are we gonna get this?
I have not seen that yet, and we probably don't need to see that.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it. We just got trailers now and news.
So I sent you the trailer for Quasi, which is Broken's newest movie coming direct to Hulu.
You cut out a little bit. You said Quasi, which is the what?
It's Broken Lizard's next movie, which is coming direct to Hulu.
Yeah, I'm okay with anything Broken Lizard's putting out. I'm going to give it a go at least one time.
Yeah. Yep. It's basically the story of Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but done Broken Lizard style. So it's going to be dirty and perverse and funny and yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
This was interesting. I know you haven't watched the fourth season of You yet, but we had kind of talked on the podcast and I had said that, you know, this would have been a good stopping point. If they do a fifth season, it's going to be hard to top. And they announced that they will have a fifth and final season. So Once you've caught up, I'll be interested to talk about that with you and like where they're going to go from here. Because this could have been the end. This could have been the stopping point. But I don't know.
I sent you the trailer for Cube.
You did.
Now, do you remember watching the original Cube movies?
I do, and I remember how much you loved them.
Yeah, I really just had a thing for them. They really appealed to me. For those that don't know, the Cube movies were people trapped in what ends up being a cube, and they go from room to room, and some rooms are booby-trapped, and some rooms are not booby-trapped. And, it really does depend on... And it's hard to describe, but they're trying to get out, and it's just a good movie, in my opinion. It's a kind of a cool concept because it was original when the first one came out, and they've since done multiple Cube movies. But this is a Japanese version of Cube, and I don't know if it's a remake or if it's some sort of sequel or how it ties in. I haven't read into it, but what throws me off a little bit is like I don't know many American films that are they'd make foreign versions of. Mm-hmm. When I mentioned this to my buddy Brandon, he mentioned Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood movie Unforgiven. They made in Japan. They made their own version of a Western and everything with Japanese characters and actors and whatnot. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's only other. So those are the only two movies I can think of. Because normally, like The Ring, The Grudge, you know. All those things like that, they're made in Japan first, and then they make a U.S. version. Yeah. High Tension was made in France first, and then they made a U.S. version. So,
yeah.
And I could go on and on and on with movies like that. So
you're definitely interested in this.
Yeah. When it comes out eventually, I'm absolutely going to check it out.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
I sent you a trailer for Knights of the Zodiac.
Yes, you did. This is another
one. It looks really interesting. It's based on a manga called Saint Seiya.
Yeah.
Or Sia.
Yep.
The premise, a goddess of war reincarnates in the body of a young girl. A street orphan kid discovers that he's destined to be one of her Knights of the Zodiac to protect her. The Pegasus Knight, I believe. Yeah. And... looks like a lot of high-flying action, a lot of good stunts and thrills.
Is this the manga you read in film class?
Or no, that was American-born Chinese.
American-born Chinese. Okay, all right. All right. I sent you a really cool image of a Lego Atari 2600 set.
Yeah, that's pretty damn cool.
That the detail on the box when you get up close, it's like if this really looks like this, that's fucking yeah.
Right.
Oh, Bill Lawrence, Scrubs reunion movie is inevitable. Okay, I'll take it.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm hoping that it's original cast and that they don't bother with anybody from med school, unless they want to throw the med school kids in there as like, you know, the original cast goes to a hospital where the med school students are now the doctors or something.
Yeah,
I'd take that, but.
I sent you the trailer for the documentary Living with Chucky.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
Oh, it looks pretty neat. I mean, they talked to a lot of the original cast and actors and directors and everything of that nature. So it looks pretty neat. I mean, I'll watch that.
So I'm going to go back for a second here. This reminds me. So today we were watching one of the episodes of Love is Blind and, there was this guy on there and he was only there briefly, but we were chuckling, laughing a lot because when he got on camera, he had like a tiny head and a huge turtleneck. And then these like his ears kind of folded out and they looked weird. Like they had like extra cartilage on them and stuff. And I just went, oh my God. And I Googled it on my phone and I had to explain to Julia about when I was a kid, one horror movie that gave me repeated nightmares, like for years, just here, there, and everywhere, were the Puppet Master movies.
Oh, yeah.
With the German scientist, occultist guy who imbued these puppets, these marionettes with killer spirits. And one of them was Pinhead, who was a big, strong man with a giant turtleneck and little tiny pointed head. And I showed her the picture. She's like, oh, my God, it's that guy. So That was great. So when you were talking about Chucky, I was thinking of other horror movie franchises, and yeah.
No, Puppet Master is a horror movie franchise that I just can never get behind.
It's
good. I don't trust anyone that says it's their favorite movie.
Yeah, no. Anybody like that has some severe psychological disorders, I think. Like repeated over multiple years, I would like have recurring nightmares with those puppets coming after me.
Yeah.
It was bad. But yeah, the Living with Chucky, like Child's Play has a big following.
It does.
There's a lot of people out there who will cosplay Chucky and what's her name? His bride there.
Yeah. I know you're talking about.
But people will cosplay it much more so than, say, like Freddy Krueger. He spawned multiple different movies, TV shows. You and I have both been very much enjoying the most recent TV show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's one of those, like, originally I was like, come on, they're doing a documentary about Chucky. And then I went, wait a minute. Actually, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, it has a big following, and especially like you said, with the new TV show.
Yep.
That we've gotten 2 seasons of, so I can get it.
I sent you the trailer for Rabbit Hole on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, that came out 2 days ago. 8 episodes is going to be in the run.
I think I'll probably check it out this week.
I might check out the first episode.
It's Kiefer Sutherland.
The premise doesn't excite me.
No.
John Weir is a corporate. Kiefer
Sutherland in every Kiefer Sutherland show.
Yeah, it's John Weir is a corporate spy, adept in a deception and ruining lives. And his last mission, a mysterious cabal turns the table on him and gives him a taste of his own medicine by framing him for murder. And he finds himself in a cat and mouse game for gaining his freedom.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. Maybe I'll check it out. Maybe I'll let you check it out and then tell me what you think.
Yeah.
So, hey, Liv Tyler coming back to the MCU in Captain America 4.
Dude, I had to do like a triple take on this. I'm like, what? What? What?
Yeah she played Betty Ross from 2008's Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
The Eric Bana one. No, the Edward Norton one.
No. Edward Norton. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Edward Norton is still out. I wonder if he'll do a cameo in there because he's kind of having a moment right now.
Well, they referenced him in She-Hulk, the Hulk referenced in She-Hulk that, you know, I was a different guy back then because the Abomination came back in She-Hulk.
Yep.
So
I hope that they do bring Edward Norton in there at some point, you know, just as like a nod, like him and Bruce walk by each other on the street and they're like, hey. Or they could do a multiverse thing.
The multiverse thing. Exactly.
Yep.
Secret Invasion, Disney Plus, June 21st.
God, that's coming right up.
Yeah.
Like, Saturday is April.
Right, exactly. We're looking at, you know, we're 3 months out. Under 3 months out.
So I didn't send you this. I forgot. And so I pulled it up so that I could talk about it. But there was some Daredevil news. First off, apparently Charlie Cox is pushing to get Karen in there. You know, I can't think of the actress' name, but yeah, he wants Karen to be back in there. Didn't say anything about Foggy. But even more than that, Newsweek did an interview with Vincent D'Onofrio, and he's basically like, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. Daredevil Born Again is awesome. I've already seen what they're doing. By the second season, there are huge payoffs in the first season, too, but I can't say much about that. But the fans are going to get really what they want. So they've already planned out a second season, is what he said.
That's a good little slip. That's great to hear.
Yep. And so, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio will be back as Kingpin. It'll be interesting to see in what capacity after what we saw at the end of Hawkeye. Although one thing that I saw today was they're talking that Daredevil Born Again may actually be taking place during Endgame. It may be going back in time a little bit and taking place back then. During the blip or right after the blip. So I don't know. Like, that's just speculation at this point. It was like a rumor that somebody had heard. But yeah, it's gonna be cool. I'm very much looking forward to the fact that we're getting the Punisher back, we're getting Daredevil back, we're getting Kingpin back. Yeah.
I'm very excited for the Punisher. Like, I really, really am. You know what I think would be cool? If we could get the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. version of Ghost Rider back as well.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because that was not the best thing that came out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'll tell you what, that was a pretty phenomenal version of Ghost Rider.
Yes, I would love to see that. I wouldn't even mind seeing him meet up with Johnny Blaze and not Nick Cage.
I know what you mean. Johnny. I saw Adrienne King, who starred in the first Friday the 13th film. She kind of let a little her and the original producer there. They had posted the photo on the Instagram talking about the new upcoming series.
Oh, yeah.
Crystal Lake series. And it said that one of the hashtags was coming in 2024. So we have a release year now.
Well, I mean, 2024 isn't that far away.
Exactly.
It's, you know, like I said, April's on Saturday. We're 4 months into 2023.
It's wild that we're we're going to hit the fourth month Saturday. It's Tuesday. Yeah, it is pretty wild. Anyhow, you got anything else, sir? That's it for me.
I got nothing else.
I got absolutely nothing else.
Same here, honestly.
All right. Well, you can find me
a little gas.
You can find me on the Twitter machine. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's our show. Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week.